want to go with me, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to preach to you on this thought, just something that I had come across my heart early, a little bit earlier, and I want to preach to you on learning to let go. And now when I say learning, that's exactly what I mean. It's not learn to let go. It's not, you know, that's not what it is. It's a learning to let go. Why? Because it's a constant, ongoing process. It's something that you never really fully grasp how to do it until this life is over with. But we're always learning. When you find your place, please stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God. We try to stand in honor and reverence of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading down in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 12, and we're going to go down through about verse 22. All right, Paul says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Let's pray. Now, Father, again, we ask your blessings to be upon this message, asking, Father, that you may let it accomplish that which you've got it intended to accomplish. We pray that you would fill your servant this morning, that I would be moved out of the way, but you would be able to shine forth, that you'd hide me behind your cross. Lord, I dare not step out and try to say something of my own volition, but I pray that it would all be done in your Spirit and in your power. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. All right, 1 Thessalonians here, he's talking about some final exhortation that Paul's giving to these Thessalonian believers. And he's just giving them some things that they need to keep in mind. Things that are not just suggestions, but they're things that are going to help you in your daily walk. And one of the things, brother and sister, that we need to learn, if we need to learn anything, is in a lot of ways you need to learn how to let go. We need to learn to, we are ever learning on how we need to let go of certain things. But listen, there always comes with this subject an opposite, right? Everything has an opposite. So what is the opposite of letting go? Well, he tells you there in chapter 5, if you look in verse 21, he tells you, hold fast. All right, so in some cases, there's some things that we need to learn to let go, but in other cases, the Lord says, you need to hold some things fast. Now, this morning, I'm going to preach on holding fast, or I'm going to preach on learning to let go. I think if the Lord continues to lead this way tonight, whenever we get back here this evening, I'm going to preach on holding fast. I'm going to preach on some things we need to hold fast. But listen, as we're looking through this thing, there's a few things I want you to notice. First of all, he tells you all the way down in verse 16, he says, rejoice evermore. And then he says, pray without ceasing. Listen, there's more to just prayer than bowing your head and talking to the Lord. Prayer is an attitude. It's a state of mind that you're in constantly. That's why he said, pray without ceasing. You can't drive down the road and bow your head and close your eyes. At least I hope you don't. If you do, let me know where you're going to be so I know not to be there that day. Amen. Me and brother was talking a little bit ago. I like that truck he got out there. That old 60-mile truck out there. I thought, man, that thing's like a tank. You could hit anything with that truck. It's going to hurt whatever you hit before it hurts that truck. But listen, I tell you, that don't mean I'm going to go down the road, close my eyes. Be just, oh, God, just bam, help me, Lord, not to bam. You know, I don't think that's what Paul meant when he says pray without ceasing. You know what it means? It means at any given moment, you should be able to get a hold of the Lord just like that. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of times whenever you head down, but I don't know why we're on driving right now. I don't know, maybe somebody needs some driving lessons. I don't know. But, how many times you've been driving down the road and had a near miss come at you, and you nearly just, split-second decision, and it could have ended in disaster, or it ended in you just being as safe as you can be, and the first thing come out of your mouth might have been, Lord, you know, it's like the song, Jesus, take the wheel, you know. You see what I'm saying? Those split-second times whenever you don't have a chance to bow your head and close your eyes. And, oh, Lord, you know what? No, that ain't what it is. So pray without ceasing is just your ability to be able to bow, not even bow your head, but just get a hold of God at a moment's notice if you need to. And that's what he's talking about. But then he moves on down. In everything, give thanks. Now, we talked a little bit about this during Sunday school. This is not always the easiest thing to do. It is not always the easiest thing to give thanks in all things. Now listen, he didn't just say that you are supposed to give thanks in the good things, though that is what is typically the easiest thing for us to do. It is easy to give thanks whenever you got food on the table. It's easy to give thanks when you got gas in the tank or when you got a roof over your head, clothes are on your back, and thank God they're washed. You know, so I mean, it's easy to give thanks when you've got good health, when you're strong, and whenever you feel like you could just take on the world. It's easy to give thanks in those things, but it is not always easy to give thanks when things are not going according to plan. I mentioned it a couple of times, just a few things I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, but listen, it's not always easy to give thanks whenever you're sitting in the doctor's office and you're getting a bad report. It ain't easy to give thanks whenever you're looking at the next paycheck and realize that it ain't enough to take care of the bills for that week. It ain't always easy to give thanks whenever you've got children that are prodigal in the far country that just don't seem to want to come back. That's not easy. But he said, give thanks in all things. Hey, it ain't easy to sit there by the bedside of a loved one who's fixing to leave this world and thank God that they're fixing to leave. It ain't easy to do that. Me and brother stayed after here for just a little while, and we was just talking a little bit, and I told him, I'm just being honest and truthful with you. I told him, I said, I'm tired of burying people. I'm tired of burying people. I'm tired of seeing people leave this world. And feeling that heartbreak and feeling that sadness and that sorrow that comes with knowing that I'm not going to lay eyes on them again until I get where they are. You know? And that's hard, brother. It ain't always easy to give thanks in these things because these things are not always easy to live through, let alone go into them with a smile and say, God's got this, though you know it's true. You know that he's got it. You know that he's in control. You know that, listen, by the way, learning to let go, that's the hardest thing for people to let go, is that illusion that they're in control. And some of the hardest things for people to do is let go of the fact that they have got to give thanks in all things. All right, now let's look at a few things. He's at verse 21 is where I'm getting my text from. This is where I'm preaching from specifically. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. All right, now he says, first of all, to prove all things. What is that? To be enthusiastic about doing what's right. You ought to have some enthusiasm when it comes to doing what's right. It ought to enthuse you to want to do good. Listen, I don't know what it is about people, but they can get more enthusiastic about something that is not God-related than they can about the things of the Lord. Why? Listen, hey, I ain't going to sit here and tell you that I ain't a fan of sports. I like sports. I like watching ball games. You know? Yes, I'm a Duke fan. Okay. Get mad at me. It's okay. A lot of my people in here, most of my folk in here is Carolina fans, so you can see it's a house divided, you know. I'm thankful the blood binds us, because if it didn't, the Blues would be, you know. You see the color blue I'm wearing. Hey, man, I like Clemson football. Oh, wow. Georgia? Okay, well, tell me what happens after they get done with the Gators, okay? Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I didn't even watch it. I ain't into that stuff. But listen. You see what I'm saying, though? Why is it that we can get so enthused about something like that, but then when it comes to getting fired up about the things of God, we're just kind of like, eh. We're going to church, huh? All right. Why are we going to church? Oh, it's Sunday. Or listen, you get to that point, right, where it's through the week and you're going through each day and it gets to where, I mean, anybody just had one of them weeks where 2 days felt like 3 weeks long? And then you get to Wednesday and you're just sitting there like, man, is this week ever going to end? And then somebody's walking out the door like, where are you going? Church? Is it church night? You see what I'm saying? We get enthused about those things. Listen, we can tell you to the day when the next vacation is that we're going to take. We can tell you how much time there is before, I mean, you talk about some of these kids, they could tell you to the day when their birthday's going to be. My next birthday's coming up so-and-so. And they, some of these kids right now could tell you right now, they could say, there are so many days, so many hours, and so many minutes till Christmas. Because they're enthused about what? They're getting something. They're going to get to give something, or they're going to get something. They're enthused about that thing. Why is it that we cannot get that same enthusiasm when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of serving the Lord, when it comes to learning to let go of some things and hold fast to others? Why can't we get to that point? But when we get to doing what's right, he said, prove all things. And then he says, hold fast that which is good. When you prove all things, it ought to enthuse you to have a chance to do what's right. But listen, he didn't say to do it. Let me show you what he did. You've got to test and try and examine these things that you think are good. Now, I say that because of this. It does not take any effort at all, and no testing is required to test a path of sin as to whether or not you ought to go down it or not. Amen? What are you going to do? Well, that's just a little sin. I think that will be okay. No, you don't have to test a sinful path to know that it's not good to go down it. But if you see a path that you think is good and you think it's all right, do you know what it requires you to do? He said, prove all things. You need to test that thing, try that thing, examine that thing, and seek God's will over that thing and say, Lord, is this your will for me? Is this the path you want me to go down? That's proving all things. And you do that with enthusiasm. Man, Lord, I want to do what's right. I do not want to be outside of your will. I want to do exactly what you want me to do, exactly how you want me to do it, and I want to be excited about knowing that I am in the center of your will doing what I'm doing. But he says you have to prove all things. Now, he means that he means to test the things that seem good to you, but then what he says is he says to hold fast to that which is good. What is that? Those things that you have full assurance of, that when you get there and you know that it's what God wants, you do it. All right, because he says in verse 22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. He didn't say, listen, did he say abstain from evil? He said abstain from the appearance of it. What is that? Don't even get close enough to look at it. Don't even get close enough to it to look at it and say, is that something I can handle or can't handle? Do you realize that you are living in the age that Christianity has gotten so numb that they can't feel anything? Do you know why that you got Christians that walk into church on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday night and the Spirit of God is moving, but they can't feel a touch of God getting anywhere near them? Do you know why? Because they're so jaded by the things that's gone on in the week before. I mean, you sit down and turn TV on and you can watch, you know, I mean, what's everything right now is about crime solving. Isn't that what everything's about now? Don't they have like 500 different kinds of NCIS or whatever that is, CSI, you know, Special Victims Unit? How somebody can watch that, I have no idea. If you watch it, hey, I can't watch that, whatever that CSI, Special Victims Unit, whatever it is. I don't see how people can watch that. How can you watch and get entertainment out of case after case after case of sexual molestation or rape and somebody find, well, I just like people getting justice. No, that's all fake. That's Hollywood. That's fake. Ain't none of it real. And how are you getting entertained by that? But you see what I'm saying, though. You go in to watch these shows and you see all this stuff and what it's all about. It's about somebody getting killed. It's about somebody doing this. It's about somebody doing that. You could look on TV for about 2 hours and see over 50 people die in that amount of time. And then we wonder why we walk in here and we can't feel nothing. It's because we're so jaded by being filled up with all that stuff that when it comes to doing the things of God, we're not holding fast to the things that are good. We need to learn to let some things go. and some things that we need to let go. I'm not telling you to blow your TV up or anything like that. I'm just saying, man, learn to have a little bit of control about the things you're letting pass before your eyes, and don't sit there and say, Lord, I've got liberty. I can handle it. I'm an adult. I've got the fortitude of a person that won't let this stuff get to them, and then wonder why we're as cold as an ice brick when it comes to the things of God. All right, let's look at something here. He didn't say, listen, he said, hold fast to that which is good. He did not say, hold fast to that, to the bad stuff that's less bad than the other bad stuff. Okay? That ain't what he said. What did he say? Hold fast to that which is good. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let me read this to you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He tells you that stuff that is not working the work of God, you get it out of your life. You get it away from you. Separate yourself from it. We're fixing to get into that place, brother, where God's fixing to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. Amen. All right, now let's look at some things. Let's get into the meat of this. All right, now, for those of you who've sat under my preaching any amount of time, you know how I am about numbers. I like Bible. I like numbers in the Bible. Not the book of numbers, but actual numbers. Because I love how that Bible that's in your lap right now, if you've got a King James Bible in your lap, I love how that thing's laid out. I love how that thing just manifests itself in so many ways that people just sit here and go, wow, you know. And that's the way that Bible works. Can I show you one of them? I'm going to show you one of them. Nine times in your Bible, it says the phrase, let go. Nine times. Nine times it says let go. You need to let go. Nine times it says hold fast. What does that mean, preacher? It means that God is never going to instruct you to let something go without first giving you something better to hold on to after you've turned it loose. Now, let me give you something. Oh, we ain't done, man. We ain't done yet. Hang on. Here we go. You ready? What's the number nine stand for in the Word of God, you that sat under my teaching? Fruitfulness. Right? If a woman gets pregnant, she's pregnant for how long before that baby's born? 9 months? That's fruit. You go to Galatians, which is the ninth book of your New Testament, and go to chapter 5, and you start in verse 22, and you read about nine fruits of the Spirit. And then you turn around and close the cover of your Bible and look on the front of each and every one of your Bibles, and it says Holy Bible, which is nine letters. And then if it's a King James Bible, King James is also nine letters. And the King James Bible that came out in the year 1611, 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1 equals 9. Now let me tell you something. When God sets it up, nobody can refute it, nobody can put it down, and nobody can question it. And when it comes to learning to let some things go, He's going to give you what you need to hold on to once you've turned it loose. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is a blessing, man. I don't know if anybody else. I get excited about this stuff. I can't help it. I'm glad I've got a perfect book that, listen, people say, oh, it was written by sinful men. Listen, man, get your head out of the clouds. Come on. You ain't got nothing else in this world to hold on to. You got to try to say everything's got a compromise and a contradiction. Listen to me. If that book ain't true, this entire world would fall apart. I believe that the very atoms that's holding you and me together, if that Bible was a lie, I believe this whole thing would just explode. Because the Bible says He holds the world together by the power of His Word. And it says that But where the word of a king is, there it is. Where the word of a king is, there's power, the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If it ain't going to be for that book, you and I wouldn't have a hope in the world. Amen. Amen. I know what I know, brother, because of that book. I'm saved today because somebody opened that book and showed me I was a sinner. I'm standing where I am today because somebody took me to the Word of God and showed me what it meant to surrender to the will of God. Amen. But you know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn to let go of some things. You remember whenever you was a kid, how many of y'all could swim? How many of y'all are good swimmers? I'm very, well, some people, I'm pretty buoyant, you know. If y'all, for some of y'all that don't ever get to listen to me, I like to get y'all involved here, all right? I'll do the preaching, but I like to see, yeah, man, I could swim. Nope, I'm like a rock. I'm gone. But do you remember, but do you remember what it was when you were first learning how to swim? I mean, you get in there and you'd be holding on to the side, and man, it was just a great feeling just to know that, hey, I'm down the side. No, I can't feel nothing. But I can tell you one thing, I know I'm in the deep end because this water's not warm, this is colder. But you know what? There wasn't nothing that helped you more than somebody either walked over and and kicked you off the side, or for that matter, you let go. And then you started realizing, hey, if I do this, I can tread water. But then if I elongate my body, I can move in one direction or the other. Man, doggy paddle. Anybody else learn to doggy paddle first? Yeah. You know the first thing I learned to do? I learned that if I went, I turned into a big float. And I didn't go down. But if I went, Listen, hey, man, when I was Max's age and this little fella back here, when I was these guys, I mean, there's a way big difference between their ages. When I was their age, man, I was like, that's how big I was. You couldn't tell it now. I grew up. I don't need your help, I said. Listen, the Lord is never going to tell you to let go of something if he don't give you something better to hold on to. Amen? All right, now let's look at a few things here. If you go over to Leviticus really quickly, and I know I'm doing a little bit of turning here, but I'm going somewhere with this. Leviticus chapter 16. And in Leviticus chapter 16, you're getting into some law here. You're getting into some law that the Old Testament gives you. But listen, if y'all know me and what we've been preaching on Wednesday nights, we've been going into some things where the children of Israel and what they went through is applied to what kind of what we go through in this life. But see, this is a law thing here. This is something Moses told them to do, the Lord instructed them to do, and I'll show you what it is. Let's see, Leviticus chapter 16, and look down at verse 22. Leviticus 16 and verse 22. Now look at verse 21. Let's get 21. Start in verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Now y'all know this, that y'all get this concept, right? This is the concept of the scapegoat, right? Aaron as a Levitical priest put his hands on the head of the goat, and the goat, he just, you know, Lord, this bunch of people have been so wicked, Lord, they've done this and they've done this, and he goes to confessing, and then when he does, some big old strong guy reaches and gets the goat and carries it off into the woods and puts it down, and the goat runs loose in the woods, and it's a symbolic picture of their sin being carried out of the camp. All right, verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And then come down to, verse 26. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, afterward come into the camp. But you notice both times, verse 22 and verse 26, what he said they had to do to that goat. He didn't say to hold on to the goat. What did he say to do to it? He said to let it go. Do you know why? Because there's something about that goat that they don't need in the camp. You know what I tell you? A lot of people have gotten to where they do now. They got a scapegoat full of excuses that they won't let him go and let him get out there in the wilderness away from them so they can find something worth holding on to. That's okay. That's where a lot of people are right now. Why did they turn that goat loose out in the woods? Because they had all these sins on it. And that's the excuse that a lot of people have. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. You just don't know what kind of wicked life I've lived. Hey, listen, if the blood of Jesus Christ can't wash away your sin, it can't wash away mine, and I am just as bad shape as you are. But the Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and he said over 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful, and he's just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if that won't work for you, it won't work for me. What do we got to learn to do? Let go of that scapegoat of excuses. Well, I can't do this because. Well, I can't do that because. Well, I can't let go of this because. Listen, people are holding on to all kinds of things, man, that are just absolutely weighing them down. They're holding on to bitterness. They're holding on to sadness. They're holding on to loneliness. And they won't let that stuff go. Say, why won't they let that stuff go? Because it gives them more comfort to sit there and hold on to it as it would if they just let it go and said, Lord, if you'll just give me something that I can hold fast to that'll take that place, I need that. I mean, unless you're okay with holding on to that stuff. I don't know about you, but man, there's just some things that I'm just, when God helped me to let it go, I was glad to have been rid of it. Amen. Listen, I know I've talked to y'all about this a couple of times, but my papaw's been dead for 11 years now. Somebody, that's a long time. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It's a long time. He's been dead for 11 years. Died of cancer. And when he died, man, I kind of went numb. I mean, I did. I went numb for a while. And, I mean, I was fine. If you'd have talked to me, I'd have been okay. But, man, there was something going on in here. And it was just, I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't let some stuff go. And you know what the Lord finally showed me? He finally showed me, yeah, you told me you're grateful that daddy's, or that papaw's not suffering anymore. And you told me you're, you know, Lord, I'm sure glad he's better off. And Lord, I'd never have him back for nothing and all that. He said, but you know what you've never done? You've never thanked me for giving him cancer. You give thanks in. You see how I'm saying? That's not always easy. Said, but you never said thank you for giving him cancer. You never told me thank you for making sure that it wasn't a long drawn out process, but I took him quick. You never told me thank you for that. You know what it took? It took me driving down the road one day and hearing a report from my grandmother on the opposite side that there was a lump in her breast and they thought it was breast cancer. And so I'm driving down the road and I'm sitting here going, again? Really? Again? I mean, why can't you just come back and get us? Why can't you just come and get us out of here and take us home? I'm tired of this. I mean, this was around the same time that her brother got killed in a car accident. Johnny, 18 years old. Car accident down in Pensacola, Florida. Gone. You see what I'm saying? Give thanks. But you know what? I found out here a little bit later, and I finally told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want to do. I said, but as far as I'm concerned, I said, all these people in my family belong to you, and if you wanted to take them all, you could, and there's nothing I can do to stop. But I'm just going to have to ask you to help me to do what I have to get over it and get and let it go. You know what happened? A phone call came in. And it was one that I didn't even receive. I didn't get it. It went to my voicemail. I had to get it later. Do you know what it said? It was my grandmother. And you know what she said? Hey, son, I just wanted to call. Now listen, she was as calm, just as cool as a cucumber. And she calls me just like she's talking to, you know. She wasn't excited. No, she was just as calm as she could be. And she said, hey, son, I just want to let you know we got a phone call back from the doctor and I do have a lump, but it's benign. Now listen, I didn't even think about hanging the phone up. No, the phone went in the floorboard. And thank God that the Lord got a hold of the wheel because I probably had to run off the road because I'm in Bear Lake Reserve. And I'm heading around these roads on Bear Lake. I threw my hands in the air. I stomped on the brake pedal. How I got stopped before I went in the ditch, I don't know. And all I could do was sit there and scream, thank you, thank you. Thank you. And then you know what it started pouring into? I said, thank you that you spared her, but thank you that you gave him cancer. Thank you that you took him home. Thank you that Johnny got took home. Thank you for the car accident. Thank you, Lord, that he didn't have to suffer. Thank you. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. It started pouring out like you ain't never seen before. And when I got through, the Lord come around and he just put his arm, like he slid right in that truck, man. He slid right in that truck beside of me and he said, all right. He said, now. He said, let's start getting over this. You know what you have to be willing to do, though? You got to let go. You got to be willing to let go. Hard. Hard to do. Isn't it? I heard a story one time. Now, this is not a true story. This is just a way of illustrating. But there was a man who had slipped off of a cliff and he was holding on by a rope. And the rope was frayed. And up at the top, the rocks were jagged, and as he swung backwards and forwards, it kept fraying the rope more and more and more. And as the man was hanging there, here he hears a voice behind him, and it said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just trying to hold on." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Do you trust me?" "Lord, I trust you." "Yeah, Lord, I trust you. I know you. Lord, I know you can save me if you just, Lord, if you just help me, Lord, I trust you." He said, "You really trust me?" "Yes, Lord, I trust you." He said, "Let go." Say, "Lord, is there a ledge for me to fall on? Is there a place where I'm just going to drop right onto it? Or, Lord, am I going to fall to my death?" And the Lord said, just trust me and let go. Just trust me and let go. See, we've forgotten what it means to walk by and not by. Because when we can see, it's easy to walk by faith. It's easy to hold on. It's easy to let go when we need to let go. It's easy to hold on when we need to hold on. But when you can't see, you're on the precipice, man. And you don't know what's down there. And you're holding on for everything you've got. And the Lord says, "You trust me?" "Yeah, Lord, I trust you." Let go. Let go. Well, I tell you, it's something hard to do. Amen? One thing people have the hardest time doing is letting go of control. That's some of the hardest stuff that they have to that they can't let go. I mean, let go and let God is what the old saying is. Let go and let God. And people have a hard time doing that. And they can't stand it. I mean, when it comes to fruit bearing, listen, when it comes to being fruitful, because that's what we were talking about a few minutes ago with the nines and all that stuff, do you realize that in fruit bearing, there are some things you can control, but then there are some things you can't? Here, how about this? I'll give you a couple of these and then we'll quit. I might have y'all out by 12 o'clock. Mark it down. Amen. I ain't generally an hour-long preacher, but I am a 59-minute preacher. Now, I preach Wednesday night for an hour, because Max told me so. All right. What can you control? Well, let me just tell you. You can control where the seed's planted. You can control what kind of ground it's planted in. Right? I mean, isn't that what he said in Mark chapter 4? "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some on stony ground, and he sowed some on hard ground, and some on good ground, and some fell among thorns." And then he gives you the result. He said, some of it grew, and he said, the sun scorched it because it didn't have no earth, and some fell among the stones, and the birds came and devoured it up. But then he said that some fell on good ground and took root and brought forth fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100. So one of the things that you can control is you can control where the seed's planted, and you can control what kind of ground you're planting it on. All right? Oh, here's one. You can control when you harvest the fruit, because you can harvest it too early. And you could wait too long. What's the whole point of all this? Well, I'm trying to get you to realize that you're going to have to learn. You got to learn to let go. Why? Because the things that you think you can control are the things that get more out of control the longer you hold on to it. You need to let go. I tell you, some people they've got to be in control of it, man. They've got to be able to run that thing. All right. Now let's look at some things you can't. What are some things you can't control? Well, when it comes to the fruit bearing, when it comes to the planting, when it comes to the reaping, one of the things you cannot control is you cannot control the lifespan of that which you've planted. So I could kill it. Mm-mm. Because that seed is a spiritual seed. Listen, we cut down these big old wild rose bushes out here, and I guarantee you by April they're going to be that high. And we'll have to cut them again. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. One thing you can't control is you can't control the lifespan of whatever it is you've planted. Why? Because it's God that gives life. It's God that allowed that to come forth. the law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. He said, if you sow with the flesh, you reap with the flesh. Lord, I lost the verse again. See, there you tell. I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows just exactly how to get into something. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So listen, there's something you can control. You can control the seed that you're planting. You can control where it's planted and what ground it's planted. And you can even control when you pick the fruit. But one thing you can't control is you can't control how long that thing's going to last. And some of that stuff that we refuse to let go is going to continue to stay in your hand so long that it's going to get roots. And then it's going to start bearing fruit. And then you're going to think, well, I'll just pull the fruit when it ain't ripe. You don't know when that stuff's going to be ripe and when it isn't. Amen? You ever went out to a tomato plant and, boy, you look at that thing and you squeeze it and, man, it's nice and firm. And you say, man, I'm going to leave that on there for another day or two and it'll be just right. But what you don't plan on is when you come back a day or two later, there's a bunch of holes in it because the bugs got in it, the birds got in it, and everything else got in it. Man, you thought, man, that would have made a great sandwich. And now it ain't going to make nothing because I left it on the vine too long. People ain't letting go. And so you can't. Those are some things you can't control. You can't control the lifespan of that plant. But I'll tell you what else you can't control. Whenever it comes seed time, you can't control. How many of y'all got them flowers that just whenever it goes out and it blooms, it's so pretty, but then when it starts to die, all the seeds fall? And boy, you'll see all them seeds start taking root. Next thing you know, you got a little one over here and a little one over here and a little one over here. You know what you can't control? You can't control how many of them seeds fall and take root. The only thing you can control is the seed you're planting. You know why people have a hard time reaping what they're sowing? It's because they didn't learn to let go when they should have let go. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. All right? Look, get over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Real quick, I'm closing with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Now listen, there's a time for everything, all right? There's a time for everything, the Bible says. And I want to tell you something. There's a time to let go and there's a time to hold fast. And depending on what you're holding on to, it may be the Lord telling you it's time to let that go. It's time for you to turn it loose. All right, look at here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. And then he goes on and on and on and on. Look, he even says in verse 8, there's a time to love and a time to hate. Oh no, we ought not do that. You see what I'm talking about though? The Lord's telling you, he said, there's a time for everything. There's a time to hold fast. And as we're going to preach tonight, God willing, there are some things that you need to be holding fast to. But I'll tell you what, there's some things this morning that I think some of us have got a hold of and the Lord's trying to put His finger on it. And He says, listen, you need to let this go. You need to let this go. You've been holding on to this for too long. And the longer you continue to hold, the deeper the roots are going to get. And when that fruit comes out, it is not going to be the kind of fruit that you won't bear. Hey man, listen. I mean, I don't have anything with me right now. I done put it in an offering plate. If I had a dollar bill or something with me, especially if I had a couple of zeros behind that one, you know. Anybody got one I can borrow? No, I'm kidding. Don't nobody bring it. I swear, a couple of people were sitting there going, no, don't do that. I take that thing and I open it up and I say, okay, who wants this? I mean, now some of y'all are going to be like, well, I don't think I'm going to. But some of y'all will be like, me! I want it! And it'll be easy for me to say, oh, you want this? Okay, and walk over here. Ms. Donna said me, so I'm going to make her do it. I walk over and I stick it out to her, and she does what she said. She reaches and gets that thing, but you know what's going to be hard for me to do? Hard to let it go. But you know what? Listen to me. What's going to happen if she don't let it go and I don't let it go? We're going to tear it up, ain't we? And then what good is it going to be? So when God's got a hold of it and you've got a hold of it and He's telling you, if you'll just trust me and let go. You say, no, Lord, I can't let it go. And He says, well, I can't. I'm not letting it go because I'm the one in control, not you. And I'm not letting it go. So if you don't want to see this thing break apart, you better turn it loose. Why do we say learning to let go? Because it's a constant, evolving process. Because nobody here can say, I've arrived. I know exactly when to let go, and I do it every time. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's hard to let go. It's hard to let go of anything, especially control. When you feel like if I turn loose of this, it is going to be a train wreck. Why don't you just let go and let God? Because He's got this in a lot better control than you and I do. Let's bow our heads for just a few minutes. Mandy, would you come to the piano, please? Let's just take a few minutes of time of reflection, prayer. This altar's always open. If you'd like to come up and just do business with the Lord, just you and the Lord, that's fine. You come right on.